What up, what up, what up? This is your man Dre Day from Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast, and I have a public service announcement for all you listeners out there. Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground in 2018, I had so many questions. How do I record an episode? Where do I find background music? How do I get my show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all the other places people like to listen? Also, where do I find advertisers? The answer to every one of these questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, distributing, and monetizing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and 100% easy to use. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast, go to anchor.fm/start to join me in the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start to join. Oh, one thing, you can record your episode from your phone or computer. So again, go to anchor.fm/start to join. And I can't wait to hear your podcast. Gents, boys and girls, you are now tuned in to a brand new episode of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. I am your host with the most, the Hood's ESPN, Crystal Street's Golden Boy, Dre Day. What's up, what's up, what's up? This is episode 294, episode 294 of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. This episode here, I'm going to touch on a few things. I'm going to touch on the Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford match over last weekend. Got to recap that. The U.S. women's soccer team, you know, I definitely got to speak on that. I think it was prior to episode 293. I think my last episode was early July, so I didn't really give a good assessment or even break down any type of prediction for the Women's World Cup. But I got a lot to speak about when it comes to this Women's USA team in this episode. I'm definitely going to make up for not doing that prior. Broncos head coach Sean Payton had some harsh remarks for former Broncos head coach and now current Nathaniel Hackett. Now current New York Jets offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. I'm going to, you know, give my, you know, opinion on that because we never really seen no shit like that before. So I'm going to really, you know, dive into that. A little WNBA talk, you know, is not really much that's gone on as of late, but, you know, I can't help it. I love the WNBA, so I want to throw them in any episode that I can, you know what I mean? Some MLB talk, you know, there's some MLB talk. There's a couple of trades that took place before the deadline that, you know, I want to speak on, like the ones that could use my attention. And then, of course, remember, I said that I'm instituting this Would You Rather segment to end the episode. So I'm going to give the audience out there a Would You Rather question.
And then when you listen to the episode, you can sit there and decipher on which option would you rather. Okay, so that's what's on the docket. That's what's on the agenda for this episode. But first, let's get into this recap. Last weekend, the big fight took place. You had a lot of people saying that this could be the next Hearns Leonard or Leonard Hearns, whichever name you want to put first. They were saying that it could be the next Leonard Duran. They were saying that it could be the next Mayweather Pacquiao. Obviously, this is the welterweight division. So you wanted to put it against previous great welterweight matches. And I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to say I put it on that pedestal, but I was looking for a great match. You know, I remember years ago that Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford had, I guess they was at the same fight, and there was a video that was put out where they was, you know, jawing back and forth with each other as fighters do, you know, backstage about, oh, we gonna do this and I'm gonna do this to you, I'm gonna do that to you, you ain't never fought nobody like me, yada, yada, yada. And what really struck me in that video was you had Bob Arum, top-ranked promoter, one of the legendary promoters in boxing. He was standing right there, just letting them jar at it. Now, I know at that time, Terrence Crawford was a fighter of top rank. And obviously, I can't remember exactly off the top of my head what year that video was made, but the fight had never happened. We fast forward to 2023, and the fight happened. I think earlier this year, it was supposed to happen, but for whatever the reason may be, you know, the fight got postponed, but then, you know, it got pushed back all the way to last weekend. And I don't think any of us was prepared to see what it was that we saw. Now, disclaimer, I had Bud winning. I had him winning. When the fight was announced, I had Bud winning. I said it from the jump that he was going to win. I felt that he was more hungry. And then on top of that, he's trying to get that respect. See, Errol Spence, he had earned his respect already. You know, he already had made his name as one of the top fighters at this time. See, Bud, his name was out there, but a lot of people still didn't respect him because of his selection of opponents. Yeah, he has an undefeated record, but if you look at the names that was on his resume at that time, they wasn't really respecting him like that. So once this match was announced, I said, oh no, he's going to win this match. There's no doubt in my mind. I thought it would be a classic. I thought it would be one of those matches that gets a lot of replay value. I really thought it was. But man, was we in for a treat. I had to go to the old neighborhood to watch the fight. I was in Green Gems Garden. If you're from the East New York area, you know what garden that is. That's the big garden right there on Fountain and Glenmore. We've had that garden for 30 years. You understand what I'm saying? Turned that garden into the monument that it is now. It was a lot in 93. Junkyard. And we turned it into what it is right now. Myself, my father, my brothers, my sister, the whole community back in the day on Crystal Street and kids from other neighborhoods. But I digress. We watched the fight in the garden. And man, the treat that we got. Because again, obviously when it comes to the first round, you already know. It's a filling out process. It's like you're throwing a chess match. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to really be anything crazy. You're getting the feel for your opponent. You know, you're trying to test them out the first 3 minutes to see, you know, see what their weaknesses is. You know what I'm saying? We got to that second round. Bud just hit Spence with a jab. Just caught him with a jab and knocked him down. Now, you watch the replay, you would think, okay, you know, It's a weak jab. How the hell you fall from a jab? But as the fight went on, you will see how serious that jab was, because Terrence Crawford was just jabbing Errol Spence away, and there was nothing Errol Spence could do about it. It wasn't a damn thing he could do about it. He was jabbing his life away. I think by the time we got to the fourth or fifth round, Errol Spence's face was already getting fucked up. It was already getting fucked up. First round, I gave to Errol Spence because it was a filling out process, and I felt he was the more aggressive fighter the first round. After that, it was all Crawford. I believe Bud won this match in 9 rounds. I believe it was a 9-round TKO. So from the second round to when the ref waved the match off, Terrence Crawford dominated this match to the point where he landed 42% of his jabs. 42%. Power shots, 60% of his power shots he landed. Listen, the only other fighter that I can think of, and I said this watching the fight, the only other fighter that I can think of off the top of my head that had numbers like that as far as power shots and a percentage like that is Floyd Mayweather. And you're talking to a huge Mayweather fan. We talking Pretty Boy Floyd and Money Mayweather. Like, he was landing a good 50 to 60% of his power punches in fights. You understand what I'm saying? And Bud landed 50% of his punches in total. He put on a clinic in this match. I think everybody and their mother was shocked at the result. If anybody said that they seen this coming, they're lying. They're lying. Now, again, I said that Crawford was going to win. There was no denying that. I said he was going to win, but I was shocked as fuck to see that how he won this match. He straight dominated Errol Spence. And see, what I don't like about this is this. You have so many people out there making excuses for Errol Spence. You got people out there saying, oh, you know, he was drugged. You got some people that says, oh, he was getting high before the fight. Because, you know, during the post game, like during the pre-fight, the whole lead up, the press conference, oh, we smoking on that bud. We smoking on that bud. Because, of course, you know, Terrence Crawford, his nickname is Bud. Errol Spence is like, you know, well, we Jamaicans, you know, we always smoking on that bud. So everybody is making excuses for him. We not doing that. We not doing that. Okay. He lost the fight. He got his ass beat. Don't make excuses for him. Because what I respect is that he didn't make any excuses. He said that he wasn't the better man. Terrence Crawford deserved the win. And bam, leave it at that. You know what I'm saying? But you got a lot of people out there making excuses for him. A lot. A lot of people. You know, Stephen A was talking about some, oh, he feels like Errol Spence should retire because, you know, he's probably still traumatized from the near fatal car accident that he was in a few years ago. See, what we're not going to do is continue to make excuses for Errol Spence. We're not going to do that. Because guess what? When he had that accident, and thank God he didn't die, because when we first heard about it, didn't look good. Didn't sound good. So the fact that he was able to make it out of that, take some time off, resume his profession, and then win those matches in the process, we can't do nothing but respect it. But see, that's why I'm not going to give him a pass. Because even after that near fatal car accident, he took some time off, got back in the ring. I think he might have had a good 2 or 3 fights, probably 2. He probably had 2 fights after that accident. And nobody said nothing. Nobody said, oh, he shouldn't be in the ring, yada, yada, yada. Nobody said nothing. You want to know why I didn't say anything? Because he won those matches. So you better not say anything when he lose. He got his ass whooped. He fought somebody that was ready for him. And Bud even said it in the post fight when homeboy's name? I think his name is Jim Gray. He said it after the post fight. They did a lot of game tape studying on Errol Spence. And the one thing that they wanted to take away from him was his jab. And that's what they did in that fight. They took Errol Spence's jab away from him. They took it away from him. They said it in the post fight. And Bud went to work. Give the man his credit, because what you're doing is you're making an excuse for Errol Spence, but you're also taking away the hard work and dedication that Bud put in to this fight. And we can't do that. We can't do that. The man got his ass whooped. Accept it and move on. Don't sit here and make excuses for him, because you wasn't making excuses for him when he won those fights. Nobody was saying, oh, he don't look good, he should retire. Nah, nobody said none of that. Y'all wait till you get his ass beat. You wait till you get his ass handed to him. And now all of a sudden, oh, he was drugged. Oh, he was high before the match. Nah, fuck that. We not doing that. He lost. He got his ass beat. Brush it off. And let's see what happens in your next fight. Now, will there be a rematch? Because, listen, both of these guys was champions. And Terrence Crawford made history for being a two-time undisputed champion. He was an undisputed champion, I think, at junior welterweight. And now he's undisputed in the welterweight division. He has all four belts, all the sanctioning body belts. He has them all. Errol Spence had three, Bud had one. He got all four of them now. Now, of course, you know, there is a rematch clause because they both were champions. Do I want to see a rematch? Like literally, after watching the first matchup and after watching how badly Bud tore Errol Spence up, do I want to see a rematch? I'm still on the fence with that. I'm still on the fence with that. But what I do love about this match was old Marshall was there. Eminem. And it's crazy because the day before the match, I seen a video where I think Terrence Crawford and Shakur Stevenson, I think Shakur Stevenson had asked Terrence Crawford, like if somebody could walk you out to the ring, who would it be? Terrence Crawford didn't even mumble. He ain't even fumble. He said, it'd be dope to have Eminem do it. Eminem saw the video, commented underneath. Terrence Crawford commented underneath, let's make it happen. And then the crazy thing is, the next day, I'm in the garden waiting to see Crawford come out. Because me, I don't know who the hell Errol Spence brought out. I don't know who he brought out. But I was vibing to the jam. So I'm not going to sit here and say I wasn't enthused, because I was. I didn't know who the motherfucker was, but I was enthused. But now I'm saying to myself, oh, I'm waiting to see who Spence coming out. I'm waiting to see who Bud coming out with. Because I was just surprised that Spence came out first. Because I always thought the A-side person comes out last. Remember, it was Spence Crawford, not Crawford Spence. So I'm thinking Bud coming out first. When Spence came out first, I said, okay, maybe M is coming out. And as soon as lose yourself, as soon as you hear the beat, I said, oh yeah, here we go. Here we go. And then you see Eminem right next to Terrence Crawford. Now, I ain't gonna lie, he didn't perform the whole lose yourself. I don't even think he performed the whole first verse. I think he did a few bars, and then you just heard, you know, the lyrics in the background. And then M did walk him to the ring, did give him a pound, you know, before he got in the ring and shit like that. But once I saw that, it was a full-blown conclusion that he was going to win. There was no doubt in my mind that Bud was going to lose this match now that Eminem had walked him out. There was no doubt in my mind. I said, you got one of the greatest MCs of all time bringing you to the ring. Brother, you better win. You better win. Emma's a champ. You don't lose when one of the GOATs brings you out to the ring. We don't do that. Now, who knows? See, Errol Spence is from Texas. He had a lot of Texas people that he could have brung out for him. He could have brung Scarface out with him. He could have had Bun B come out with him. He could have had Slim Thug, Paul Wall. Like he had a decent list of people that he could have brung to that ring, but he brung who he brung out. Again, I don't know who he is. No disrespect. But Bud won that because he brung out Eminem. And it showed in the ring. So congrats to Bud. Okay? Congrats to Bud on being a two-time undisputed champion. So I think him and Clarissa Shields are the only two current fighters right now who are undisputed champions in their weight class. So shout out to the both of them. As far as Spence, listen, shake the cobwebs, get back to the drawing board. If you get your rematch, cool. You know, I am not interested in the Keith Thurman Bud Crawford match. So Keith Thurman, I know you want to throw your name in the ring and shit like that. Nobody's interested in that. Nobody is interested in that. You understand what I'm saying? So you can leave that alone. I know Errol Spence said he wants a rematch, and if so, he wants to do it at 154. I mean, you lost, my guy, so you really don't have no say at this point. You know? See, you was the A-side this match. If it was a rematch, you're not the A-side. You're the B-side. So if anything, Bud gets to dictate how he wants the match. But again, shout out to Bud for the victory. Shout out to both of these guys because it was nothing but respect amongst both of them. I mean, of course, you know, in boxing, of course, it's going to be trash talking here and there. But for the most part, it was nothing really derogatory that was said amongst each other. It was nothing but respect. Even after the match, Bud couldn't do nothing but thank Errol Spence for the opportunity. You know what I'm saying? So Bud is a humble individual, very humbled. And he was very humbled after that match. He couldn't do nothing but thank Errol Spence for the opportunity that he gave him. You know what I'm saying? Because he even said it. He probably wouldn't be in this position if it wasn't for Spence. So again, kudos to both of them for their professionalism and the way they carried themselves in the press conferences and even after the match. Like, shout out to both of them. You know what I'm saying? So I can't be no more proud than both of them and how they conducted themselves after the match and before the match. So there you have it. The better guy won. The better guy won. Shit, I won money off the fight. Shit, I won $100 on this match. You know what I'm saying? So I'm good. I'm good with that. I'm good. But if you're asking me, do I still have the 100? That's another story. Okay, next. USA Women's Soccer. Listen, the FIFA Women's World Cup is taking place right now. I believe it's in New Zealand. If I'm not mistaken, I believe it's in New Zealand. And I must say, it's paining me seeing what I'm seeing out of my U.S. girls. It is. Listen, when it comes to women's soccer, especially when it comes to country versus country, we dominate. You understand what I'm saying? We dominate. We kick ass and we take names. And we have done that for the longest. Dating all the way back to 1999. We all remember 1999 when we played China and we won in, You know, the shootout when homegirl took off her jersey and she had on the sports bra and shit like that. I can't remember her name right now, but I do remember Mia Hamm was on that team. I do remember Julie 40 was on that team. I'm trying to remember some of the other girls' names. Like, this is a freestyle episode, so pardon self, but y'all get what I'm saying. We then fast forward to 2011. Amy Winebach, Hope Solo, hell, Megan Rapinoe, Alex Morgan. We was fully equipped in that 2011 World Cup, and we lost to Japan. Now, me personally, was I hurt that we lost? Yes, because we always supposed to win. In my eyes, USA supposed to always win. I don't give a damn what sport it is. We supposed to always win. But see, that year, I was okay with it. Because at that time, Japan just had a tsunami, just ransacked their country. So for Japan to be in the title game with us and for them to win, okay, I'm okay with them winning. Because under the circumstances, they need something to uplift their country. So I'm okay with them. I'm okay with us losing. I'm okay with taking silver. We then fast forward to 2015. We kicked ass and we took names. Had a parade in the city and everything. We fast forward to 2019. We kicked ass. We took names. Had a parade all over the city. We now fast forward to this year, where we're trying to go for a three-peat in the World Cup. And I'm not going to lie to you, it's not looking too good. It is not looking too good. And the reason why I'm saying it don't look too good is because of this. I don't know who these young girls are that are currently on this team. I do not know who they are. But I need them to understand what legacy you're a part of right now. You are a part of a legacy where we have, I believe we have 4 World Cup titles, if I'm not mistaken. I believe we have 4 in total. We're going for a three-peat, because remember, the World Cup is every 4 years. Y'all haven't earned nothing. Y'all haven't earned anything. Y'all acting like this is y'all birthright. Y'all act like y'all deserve this opportunity. Y'all young pups. And y'all out there playing like y'all don't give a shit. And as a fellow US, as a fellow American, we take this shit very seriously. You think I want to get up 2-3 o'clock in the morning and watch my U.S. girls play like shit? There's no excuse. I kid you not. There's no excuse for why my U.S. girls is struggling in this World Cup. Aside from the first game, when we played Vietnam, we smoked their boots. I wasn't surprised by that. Wasn't surprised at all. We didn't play Netherlands, who, for all intents and purposes, We need that, listen, after we lost to them in the Olympics last year, I think it was last year, whatever the Olympics was, we needed some get back. And for us to put on a performance that we put where we ended in a tie doesn't sit well with me. And then we really fast forward to this last game against Portugal. We ain't score shit. Portugal, listen, I'm going to say it. Portugal deserved that win more than we did. In defeat, they got more respect than we did in a tie. Because all the talk was, what's going on with Team USA? What's going on with them? What's going on with them? Listen, them Portugal girls, they out-hustled Team USA, and they still didn't win. They couldn't even score a goal. Neither team scored a goal. And they played harder than us. To the point where Team USA legend Carly Lloyd has some really harsh comments for this team. Now, me personally, I don't think she said anything wrong. She was ruthless in what she said. She was ruthless. And me personally, I had no problem with what she said. None. And the reason why is because guess what? She's battle tested. She was on these teams. She was on these teams when we won these World Cups. She was on the 2011 World Cup team when we lost. And guess what? She was on the two that we won as well. So I have no problem with her questioning what's going on with this team. Now, of course, you're going to have those people out there. Oh, she's too harsh. She shouldn't say that. Nah, fuck that. Fuck that. I don't like how she, you know, reneged on some of the stuff that she said, because maybe this is what they needed to hear. They, like, listen, they needed to hear this shit. We got some leaders on that squad. Alex Morgan, Megan Rapinoe. I think this might be their final World Cup run. We still got O'Hara. We still got Julie Ertz. Who knows? This might be her last one too. So who's going to carry the baton for this USA team for the foreseeable future when the vets leave? Who? So again, me personally, I had no problem with what Carly Lloyd said. I had no problem. None. Whatsoever. She had every right to say what she said. She had every right to say what she said. Now, me personally, listen, I don't know who this coach is, but I can tell by his name he ain't American. I think that's the problem right there. If you're going to have a coach for USA, at least have an American coach. Like, I don't know who to... Listen, it's crazy for me because like, for me, in my honest opinion, right? We have so many fantastic players on this team. So many. Alex Morgan, Megan Rapinoe, Julie Ertz, Rotman's daughter, Trinity Rotman, amazing talent. Rose Lavelle, who I think might be suspended for our upcoming game, because she had two yellow cards against Portugal. So she's not even playing our next game against Sweden. So now we really in deep shit. We still got O'Hara. We still got Nair, our goalie. Like, we got amazing talent on this team. Amazing talent. And for some reason, we cannot get the job done. I'm not liking what I'm seeing. I'm sorry, I'm not. Jill Ellis, that was our coach in our last World Cup. Why is she not the coach for this team? She is the winningest coach in U.S. women's soccer history. Now, I get that she stepped down. But, nah, she's supposed to be the coach for this team. She's supposed to be the coach for this team. No disrespect to Vlatko, I think that's his name. I don't want to muffle his name. No disrespect to you. Don't know you from a hole in the wall. But you shouldn't be the coach for this team. It should be Jill Ellis, respectfully. Respectfully. So now we got Sweden, which will be hard, because now we advance to the knockout round. I'm not impressed with this knockout round. Okay, we beat Vietnam. We smoked their boots. Then we had two ties. We ain't even won our group. Netherlands won our group. So this is the first time since 2011 where Team USA didn't win their group. And now we're in a knockout round where we might potentially get knocked out by Sweden, because Sweden ain't no slouch. Shit, I was pulling for Italy to win. But I knew that wasn't going to happen, because Sweden is dope. They got some Rough Riders on that squad. And I tell you this right now, Team USA better get it together. They better get it together. Or we going to find ourselves knocked out in the knockout round. And that will be a total disappointment because that's not what happens with Team USA women's soccer. Now, for the men, have at it. Say whatever you want about them. I ain't fans of them motherfuckers anyway. It's the women that hold us down. It's the women's USA team that brings home the gold medals. It's the women's USA team that brings the championships for the World Cup. It ain't the guys. It's the girls. That's why I'm taking this so serious. When the guys lose, I'm not surprised. When it comes to the women, though, we expect to win. See, the men, they hope to win. The women, we expect to win. Because we already know what it is. So hopefully they get it together, man. Like, hopefully, with the backlash that they are hearing. Hopefully with the backlash that they are hearing. Hopefully they wake up. Hopefully they wake up. I believe that game against Sweden is next Wednesday. So hopefully with all the backlash that they're hearing and all of these things, hopefully that is a wake-up call for them to step up. It will be a major disappointment if we get knocked out in that first game. It will be a total failure. It will be a total disappointment. And we can't let that happen. We cannot allow that. We are defending World Cup champions. We are going for a three-peat. This is not how you want to go out. If we lose in the championship game, cool. Have at it. I have no problem. But not in the first round of the knockout round. Come on now. Come on. No. No. So, we gonna see. We are going to see. Okay. Now let's get to Sean Payton. Sean Payton is currently the Denver Broncos head coach. He was the coach for the New Orleans Saints for many years. Won a championship in 2009 against the Colts. Took a year or two off, got in the booth. I think he was working at NBC at the time. I don't know if he was color commentating or was an analyst, but he did take some time off, okay? And in his first line of business, since training camp started, Sean Payton felt the need to say some harsh words to Nathaniel Hackett. Now, I get it. You know, I get it. You want to make your presence felt in Denver. From what you saw last season from them, you want to make your mark. But the way you went at it was wrong. You know, he basically threw Nathaniel Hackett under the bus. Like, I'm basically paraphrasing what he was saying. One of the worst coaching jobs in history. It was, but you don't have to say it out loud. Even mentioning him by name, talking about, oh, we not here for the glitz and glamour, like the Jets and all this other shit. Like, come on. Like, come on. All that is unnecessary. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to try to rally your team, if you want to try to talk shit, there's other ways you can do it. You understand what I'm saying? And for a coach that's very well respected in the NFL, he didn't have to do this. Now, I get it. He's from the Bill Parcells family tree. So I guess he felt the need that he had to do this because, listen, Bill Parcells, if you watch football like that, when it comes to head coaches, when it comes to coaches that didn't bite their tongue, Bill Parcells was one of them. I didn't say Belichick because Belichick don't say shit. But Bill Parcells, or he'll let it be known, he ain't going to bite his tongue. So I guess Sean Payton in this moment, he felt that, hey, I'm from that Parcells family tree, so why not I say something? I'll tell you this, though. What you did was put even more pressure on your team. Because, and look, the one thing that I will say that he said that I agree with, and me personally, I kind of think this, like, I kind of, like, me personally, after reading the quote, which I don't have, you know, in my face, again, this is a freestyle episode, I think what he was trying to do was, he was trying to make light of the season in Denver prior to him getting there, and then all of the attention that, you know, some players on his team were getting, and they didn't earn nothing, a la Russell Wilson. The dude had his own office. The dude had his own parking space. They gave Russell Wilson everything in Denver except a pedicure and a manicure. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't try to get a stripper for Russell Wilson when he came to Denver. So I think two things can be true here. I think, okay, yes, he was wrong with the Nathaniel Hackett stabs. He was absolutely wrong with that. But I also think he was sending a message to his quarterback as well. Like, yo, all that shit that you was doing last season, all that exposure you was getting last season, all that, you know, all that shit that they was giving you last season, that shit don't mean nothing this season. You had your fun last year. Let you mess up this year, you're going to find yourself out that door. And I think this season is very important for Denver. For that reason alone, you don't bring Sean Payton for this team and expect them to play like shit. You just don't. I'm sorry, you just don't. And then in the division that you in, with the reigning defending champs, the Chiefs, with the emerging Chargers, with the Raiders and the Broncos, you can make a case that right now they're either third or fourth best in that division, even with Sean Payton as the head coach. Because obviously it's Kansas City and, it's Kansas City and Chargers. You understand what I'm saying? But again, I tell you what, I'm interested for, I think, week 5. Because I think that's the weekend that they play the New York Jets. Yep, week 5, October 8th. So guess what, Sean Payton? You talked all that shit. You threw jabs at Nathaniel Hackett. You threw stabs at the Jets. Guess what? Week 5, you're going to have to own up to it. Because that same team that you threw stabs at, talking about, I'm paraphrasing. You know, we not with the glitz and the glamour. You know, they do that. You know, they doing that with the Jets, yada, yada, yada. Guess what? It's going to be put up or shut up week 5. And I like Aaron Rodgers. Listen, I love what Aaron Rodgers has done with this Jets team. And what's so crazy is he didn't do none of this in Green Bay. Especially them last 3 years. What he has done with the Jets in this 1 year, it ain't even a full year, is more than what he's done for Green Bay those last 3 years. The man took a pay cut. The man looks very happy with the Jets. Like every time I see him, he glowing. I didn't see this his last 3 years in Green Bay. He spoke up for, you know, Nathaniel Hackett in interviews. Shit, he even took the Will Smith approach. Remember when Will Smith slapped Chris Rock and said, keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth? He told Sean Payton, keep my coach name out your mouth. I gotta respect it. God can tell you this. Listen, that game against the Jets, week 5. Nathaniel Hackett is what? An offensive coordinator, right? If you don't think for one split second that Nathaniel Hackett and Aaron Rodgers is going to try to stick it to that Broncos defense, and it's in Denver, if you don't think they're going to try to run the score up on Denver on week five, you better think again. Sean Payton gave the Jets bulletin board material. He sure did. He sure did. So I hope his team is ready. I really hope that they are ready. Not just for that game, but just for the whole season. They better be ready. They better be ready. Okay. WNBA talk. Again, I spoke about this last week. There's not really that much to speak about when it comes to the WNBA right now, but I will say this. The Las Vegas Aces, man, they are putting on a clinic in this WNBA season. They already clinched the playoff berth, which we're all not surprised. They are 24-2. In 26 games, they've only lost two games. Now, me personally, again, it was a full-blown conclusion for me that they were going to the WNBA Finals once they acquired Candace Parker. Me personally, I felt they was going anyway. But once you threw a hole into the equation, oh yeah, you might, don't even pencil it. Put that shit in pen, okay? Put that shit in pen when you don't gotta erase it. They're going to the finals. Now, listen, I just don't see anybody fucking with them. I honestly don't. I don't see no team fucking with them. Now, their next couple of games is gonna be against some teams with winning records. They got the Wings coming up, which the Wings gave them one of their losses. They got the Dream, young emerging team. They got the Liberty twice. Well, actually, three times. In fact, August 6th, that's a Saturday. I don't know. I think I might have to go to that game because it's in New York. It's in Barclays. I don't know, man. I'm going to have to attend that game. I got my Candace Parker shirt, even though she ain't playing. But I don't know, man. I don't know, man. I'm going to have to go outside for that game. You know, I'm gonna have to show face for that game against the Liberty, man. I don't know, man. I'm thinking about it. What's today's date? Today is what, the 3rd? Okay, I'm thinking about it. I got about 3 days to think about it. But I just don't see nobody fucking with the Aces, man. I honestly don't. I don't see nobody messing with them. Shout out to Diamond Miller, who was Rookie of the Month for the month of July. Very well deserving. Very well deserving. Listen, again, I believe Aaliyah Boston is the Rookie of the Year. Made the All-Star game as a rookie. I believe Diamond Miller could have been as well, but, you know, unfortunately, she was injured. So I'm happy that she won Rookie of the Month. Listen, I just don't see nobody beating the Aces. I'm sorry. I just don't. Listen, I know Connecticut is there with Thomas and DeJuana Bonnard. And listen, Thomas had another triple-double. Another triple-double. A 2020-10 triple-double. Amazing talent. Amazing talent. She's a triple-double machine. I just don't see nobody beating the Aces. I really don't. Like, it's going to take something drastic to happen for them to lose. Like, Wilson would have to get hurt. Knock on wood. Hell, listen. Asia Wilson, Jackie Young, K Kelsey Plum and Chelsea Gray, all four of them would have to get hurt in order for them not to lose. And let me knock on wood, because I don't want to wish no harm on them, but that's the only way they ain't winning. And listen, Jackie Young just got bodied a few nights ago. And Asia Wilson and Chelsea Gray are having the time of their life. You know, I seen a video coming home from work last night. And I seen a video of them just trolling Jackie Young on the bench. Now, the reason why I don't have an issue with this is because this is what they do. You know, they dance in the tunnel before the games. They making TikTok videos celebrating as a team. You know what I'm saying? This is what they do. So I'm not really tripping off of it. This is how they get through the season. But when playoff time come, that's a whole different breed. That's a whole different animal there. But again, they're battle tested. They're the reigning defending champs. So I'm not really knocking their arrogance, because who has beaten them? Like, who can say, okay, yeah, you've beaten them in the regular season, but did you beat them when it really count? No. So we gonna see, man. We gonna see what's up. We definitely gonna see what's up when it comes to this rest of this WNBA season. Like I said, it ain't really much to speak about with the WNBA. I just wanted to throw something in there. You know what I'm saying? I just wanted to. But I do have to correct something. I said FIBA World Cup. It's actually FIFA World Cup. For the women, it's FIFA World Cup. For the men, it's FIBA. So, pardon self. I had to correct that. Now, let's get to some MLB talk. Listen, my Yankees season is over. I'm not even going to lie to you. I don't see us making the playoffs. I just don't. I believe this year they're going back to the playoff format when it was in the pandemic, where it's three wild card teams. You got the three division winners, and then you got three wild cards. I think that's what it should always be. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think baseball need to get with the times. They need to watch what all the other sports are doing and try to make things interesting. And I think that's what MLB should do. I think it should be a six teams in the playoffs now, in my honest opinion. This is not the old days where you had three division winners and then you have a wild card team. They got to keep the time. So I think it should be three wild card teams. Even with that being said, I don't think my Yankees will be one of those three wild card teams. I just don't. We're too inconsistent. Okay, yeah, we won last night against Tampa. Because for me, what I'm seeing right now is, especially when it comes to this pitching rotation, it's just Gerrit Cole. That's it. That's it. That's all we get. It's him and that's it. Severino, dud. And this was, and he a free agent after this year. He's gone after this year. Herman, he just had a perfect game not too long ago, did he not? I read a report where he's done for the rest of the year because he's getting treatment for alcohol abuse. Now, I will say this. I respect the fact that he's checking on this now. He wants to get this taken care of now before it's too late. So I respect him when it comes to that. And let's be real. After that perfect game, every game he did after that, he was average at best. So, hey, go ahead. Have at it. Again, it's Gerrit Cole, and that's it. That's it. Okay, Nestor Cortez was hurt. He's coming back this weekend. Carlos Rodon, he ain't done shit this season. First of all, he was injured half the season. He then comes back pitching like shit, got the nerve to be blowing kisses at Yankee fans when he gets thrown out of a game. Like, my God, what the fuck are you doing? We can't hit for shit. We're one of the last teams in batting average this year. Giancarlo Stanton has been an absolute disappointment this season. In fact, he's been a disappointment since he's been in pinstripes. Let's call it what it is. Okay, Judge is back. Still can't run. I don't even think he's playing right field. He's still, they got him at DH. Listen, I just don't think we're making the playoffs this year. Like, it's just too much shit going on with this team. And as a diehard Yankee fan, it pains me, yo. It pains me. It does. We are last place in our division. Last. It's five teams in the division. And guess who's fifth? That would be the team in the pinstripes. The Bronx Bombers. The Evil Empire is what people call us. And we're in last place. We are 10 games behind Baltimore for first place. And I remember last episode, I said, shit, can we at least get 2 out of 3 against Baltimore? And then they wind up getting 2 out of 3. Listen, we got a tough road ahead of us. Very tough road ahead of us. We just finished this series with Tampa. We lost 2 out of 3. Now we got a 4-game series against the Astros. And right now, they're striking back at the right time. Now again, unfortunately, they are the defending world champions. Love them or hate them. But they're striking at the right time right now. We got a 4-game series with them. Then we got the White Sox. Then we got the Marlins. Then we got the Braves. And then we got the Red Sox. Those are our matchups pretty much for this month. And I'm supposed to sit here and think we going to the playoffs? I just don't see it. We're 10 games behind for the division, and I think we're 3 games behind for one of those wild card spots. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. Now, enough about my Yankees because they're pissing me off. The Astros. Listen, I just said that they're striking at the right time. They just had a no-hitter a few nights ago. They now bring back Justin Verlander, who was just with the Mets. Now, he's had a decent season with the Mets. He's now going back to the Astros, where he's had his success, where he's won his world championships. He's comfortable, and he's very familiar with the Astros. If you don't think he's going back there to reign terror, you better think again. Now, again, I am not a fan of the Astros by any stretch of the imagination, but I do love me some Dusty Baker. That's the only thing I like about the Astros, because I damn sure don't like that midget Jose Altuve. The Astros are striking at the right time. We are now in August. And they are 1/2 game behind the Rangers for the division lead in the AL West. And speaking of the Rangers, they picked up Max Scherzer from the Mets. So the Mets said, you know what? The two pitchers that we signed in the offseason, our season is to shit. Fuck it. Let's trade them. So they basically saying, the Mets basically saying their season is over. We're going to give up our two ace pitchers and we're going to send them to the American League West. Our season is done. Hell, let's trade them somewhere else. Now, listen, Max Scherzer has not had a good season this year. What was it? I think he got suspended 10 games this year for a banned substance or some shit. He got rocked a few games. Then had the nerve to call a team meeting. Like, dude, you've had a bad season and you're trying to have a meeting with the front office? Like, who are you? But guess what? He's now going to a team that has a legitimate opportunity to win a World Series. If you don't think that he's going to be rejuvenated in that Rangers uniform, you better think again. You better think again. Verlander and Scherzer is going to surge with their new teams. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. But listen, man. Listen, I can't wait for the playoffs in baseball. I really can't. I said this in the last episode. I can't wait. Usually when the Yankee season is over, my season is over. But I think this year I'm going to give the playoffs a shot. Because all these teams that you didn't expect to do something, they all have, look, who would have thought Baltimore would be where they are right now? We all knew Atlanta was going to do some shit. Who would have thought Cincinnati would be first place in their division? Who would have thought the Rangers would be where they're at right now? So I'm very much intrigued with this with what's gonna happen in the playoffs. I'm very much interested in what's gonna happen. But I digress. Again, my Yankees ain't going to no playoffs. They're not. And it pains me to say it. I'm going to ride with them to the ship sink. Don't get me wrong. But I can't do that. I can't jump off the ship. But I am a realist. I'm not like delusional Cowboy fans that say, oh, we're going to win the championship this year, knowing damn well we not. But my Yankees ain't going to no playoffs. Now, can they turn it around? I believe they can. But see, they're going to have to put on a crazy winning streak. They're going to have to go on a crazy run. And I honestly just don't see that happening. I don't. I just don't see it. But, listen, we have gotten to the end of this episode. And with that being said, like I said, I've instituted a new segment called Would You Rather? What I do is I raise a question, and then you as the audience will give your answer. When you listen to the episode, you'll give an answer. So let's have some fun with it, right? Would you rather give up sex for a year? Ooh, I know y'all think I'm bugging with this one. Wait till you hear what I say next. Would you give up sex for a year or your cell phone for a year? Yeah, there it is. Give up sex for a year or your cell phone for a year. Now, for me, this one is easy for me. I'll give up sex for a year. Hell, I've done it before. In fact, shit, I just did it. Listen. Let me tell you something. I just broke out of my shell a few weeks ago. Prior to that, I was on a year and 2 months with no sex. A year and 2 months, I was without it. Now, obviously, you know, as a male, you know, sometimes you still got to do some things. You understand what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you got to beat it like you owe you money. You understand what I'm saying? But as far as getting it in, yeah, a year and 2 months. I just broke out that shell last month. So the year and 2 months got snapped last month, okay? I'm sorry, I can't go without a phone for a year. I'm sorry, I can't do it. And I'm quite sure when y'all hear this episode and y'all hear that question, y'all gonna agree with me. Because hell, listen, I'm sure there's some females that's already have gone a year without sex. I'm quite sure of it. I'm quite sure there's some female listeners. You've already gone a year without sex. But I know for a fact you can't go a year without your phone. Everybody got their damn phone. Listen, when it comes to phones, that is the most important gadget to people. Everybody is on their phones. Everybody. That's why it irks me when you text people and they take forever to text and then they use that lame excuse, oh, I'm busy. You ain't busy. Because if you had time to read that message, guess what? You ain't that busy. You understand what I'm saying? You ain't that busy. So, yeah, for me, I'll go with a cell phone without a year. For a year. You can have my cell phone. The sex part. Because I've already done that before. I don't think I could be without a phone for a year. I don't think I can do that. Because what comes with that is, I don't speak to my son. Can't have that. So, yes. The question is, would you rather give up sex for a year or your cell phone for a year? I'm very interested in what people is going to say when it comes to this. So, listen, if y'all want to DM me on my Facebook page, Dre Day, or if you want to DM me on my IG page, Dre Day 1985, or even my podcast page, Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast, have at it, because I am very much interested in seeing what y'all will pick. But it is a wrap for this episode. And before I go, I have to give a shout out. And this shout out is very personal. Very personal. This person is very well deserving of a shout out. And that person would be me. Yep, that's right, me, Dre Day. And the reason why I'm shouting myself out is very simple. Today's date is August 3rd, right? This episode will drop on a Friday, which will be August 4th. August 2nd, which was Tuesday. Was it Tuesday? Oh, no, Wednesday. Today is August 3rd. Yesterday, I didn't record. Made my 5th year anniversary with Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. That's right. Yesterday was the 5th anniversary of the launch of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. I am close to 300 episodes. Hell, if it wasn't for these setbacks, I'd have been past 300. So, yeah, I'm shouting myself out. God damn it. Because, listen, this podcast game, man, this shit is hard, man. This shit ain't easy. See, people think this shit is easy. People think just sitting in a chair, sitting behind a mic, and just talking, that shit is easy. No, it's not. It take a lot of work to do this shit. A lot of work. Especially when you have a 9-to-5 job. Well, in my case, a 2-to-10-30 job. When you got bills, when you're a parent, then you got to think about your mental health. And obviously, we all go through setbacks. So sometimes you got to take a sabbatical from podcasting. This shit ain't easy, man. This shit is not easy. So for people out there that think this shit is easy, come step into this field and tell me how you get through it. And then come back to me. Because this shit ain't easy, man. So I want to shout out myself for the hard work and dedication that I have put into this podcast game. 5 years. 5 is my favorite number. 5 years of hard work and dedication. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm shouting out myself for this. I'm congratulating myself. Because this episode is 294. I've done 293 episodes in 5 motherfucking years. Damn right I'm patting myself on the back. Rightfully so. So yeah, I'm shouting myself out for this. So now I gotta go. I wanna thank y'all for y'all continued support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. Listen, I am on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Podbean. Your boy's on a couple of platforms except Tidal. Again, my Facebook page, if you want to holler at me, Dre Day. Instagram, Dre Day 1985. Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. So I got two IG pages. And then on Twitter, Dre Day 1985. Holler at your boy. Especially when it comes to that would you rather. Because I'm very much intrigued to see what y'all answer is. So again, just, I can't thank y'all enough for y'all support, man. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. In closing, y'all know how this goes. This has been another episode of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. Episode 294 is done. Catch y'all on the flip side. God bless. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here. Peace. What up, what up, what up? It's your man Dre Day, and I have a PSA announcement for y'all. Did y'all know that only 38% of African Americans were able to identify financial terms on the PFN index, an annual financial survey? Why is that? Because we're never given the tools to succeed in the financial sector. Will with American Classic Agency has been designing financial maps for his clients to succeed for over a decade for clients on both coasts. With Will, you will be able to create a game plan to get out of debt and create the wealth that you and your family deserve. If you're interested, please contact Will at willspady@gmail.com. That's willspady@gmail.com. Or call him at 443-810-0384.